Thank you, Peter.
If someone would make a schematic for me of all the things I'm supposed to do, hopefully I'll remember. The way the phone tree works, thank you, Joe. I just love having Joe do announcements. Great job. So Megan's passing around the sign-up list for the phone tree. If this is the church that you come to, you should be on the phone tree. So to answer the question, who should be involved in the phone tree? Everybody who comes to church here. To answer the question, why, just like Joe is saying, in case the rare event we have to cancel something or change something very quickly, the phone tree is very helpful for that because most people don't check their email every 2 minutes. Some of you do. I'm actually very comfortable with Derek and Craig not being on the phone tree because they will check their email that often. But for most of us, including me, we need a phone tree because, you know, changes can be kind of on short order. The way the phone tree works, very simply, we actually just have 5 different people that call a group of people that they have kind of under their name, so to speak. So there's 4 people that I have on my list. Different people have more than 4. I think I've got the lightest list, maybe. But so the way it works is Megan can call 5 people, and then those 5 people call a number of people, and then everybody in the church is reached within about 10 minutes. It's pretty easy. I think it worked really well this time. So that's how it works. And everyone on the receiving end of the calls has been doing a great job not trying to be chatty. Because the key to the, sorry, I didn't get to call that person. I had a 10-minute conversation with Aaron. It was really nice, you know. So we need to, yeah. So it's got to be quick. So anyway, the phone tree is working beautifully.
Make sure you're on it.
Make sure you're on it. All right. Got a special announcement. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to be part of purchasing something. Jesus has purchased it all. If you can put up that first slide, just the intro slide. there's even a tagline, quality you can trust. So there's Agathos Gospel Tracts. If you'd be able to get me some more water. There's Agathos Gospel Tracts. That are really years in the making. Brad has shared the gospel for a long, long time with people. In sharing the gospel and leading literally thousands to the Lord, he's learned some things are particularly helpful to share. You know, it's one thing to know a thing. It's another thing to know how to teach a thing. Because it's you got to be able to communicate the way people can receive it. So out of that, a while back, I don't know how long ago it was, he wrote his own gospel tract, primarily because he found others to not quite do it exactly how he thought it was probably best to be done. And then over the last year or so, he's revised it extensively, 12, 15, 20 revisions, something to that effect. It's substantially changed, although it still has all the good it had before, it's substantially better even. And then Derek has lended his design capabilities to it. Oh, it's no wonder you weren't watching me anymore. So on the right side there, it's meant to kind of look like it will look on the outside of it. So on the right side would be the front cover. It's folded from top to bottom down the middle. On the back side, you'll see that there's scripture references. Listen to this first one. Come on. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. John 3:36. It's so beautiful to get those scriptures into the hands of people that just don't know. They just don't know. People don't know the gospel. The main reason people don't believe in the gospel is they don't know it. Those of us who know the gospel think to ourselves, how could you not believe in this? It's so good. He's so true. But if you don't know, you don't know. So you need someone to tell you, Romans 10. All right, now if you look in the middle, down here it says for contact us for great worship and Bible teaching, go to agathos.org, and it gives our phone number as well. These tracts are not meant as like an Agathos congregation builder necessarily, but if people need a church home, we're happy to be it for them. We've been called to do that. This is a kingdom of God builder. This is a heaven population builder. This is a hell plunderer. Okay? Now, look at the inside. Here's the meat and potatoes. I'm not going to go all the way through it, but basically it identifies the sin problem, it identifies what Jesus did for us on the cross, and it identifies how you can go about receiving that. Isn't that awesome? And by the way, this whole thing is only 6 inches tall and 4 1/4 inches wide. I know that because I'm ordering them when it's folded. So it's a little tiny thing. And when we've given it out to people over the last year and a half, I think the relative diminutive size and the fact that it's not a book, people are very apt to receive it. You'll also notice if you go back in the slide, you'll notice that Brad's title for it, I think, is the perfect title for a tract. A Message Worth Reading. It's powerful. This alone, you could just meet someone, give them this, they easily can get saved off of it. Not only can you easily get saved off of it, you can pretty much have your whole first year of Christian growth encapsulated in what's in this. If they never had a Bible, this could get them saved and get them set free from condemnation and help them understand who they are in Christ in one package. I'm not saying I don't wish they'd have more than that. I'm just saying that's how much is in there. It's so powerful. It's so condensed. It's just what you need to hear. I got two stories about it. I'll just give one. Recently, so there's two functions. One, you can give these to someone that you know you're not going to have a lot of time to talk to. For instance, when we see a homeless person on the side of the road, you're pulling off the off-ramp, and if the Lord stirs our heart to give something to them, you know what's coming out the window? Money and that tract. And I tell them the message contained in this tract, I'm going to give you two things. I'm going to give you money, and I'm also going to give you this tract. The message contained in this packet right here is pure gold. It changed my life in 2005. You're holding gold in your hand. Thank you so much. And so when you do that, what did you do? And that's like the light's already turned green. But it took 7 seconds to give them a personal testimony, a track that has enough information to save their soul, and money. But so you can give a track very quickly. You could be talking to someone at a restaurant or a hotel, and they're working, so they're not going to have time, but you had this great conversation. They are really appreciating it. They loved your witness almost. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to run out to my car, grab something for you that I'd love for you to have a chance to read. We did that at Burger King one day. Came back a month later. I mean, 3 months later. Came back next day. No, just kidding. Doesn't matter. Your body fat percentage, was that the word? That's funny. Came back sometime later. And I happen to remember the lady's name that we had given this track to. I said, hey, is your name? Yes. And she remembered ours, I believe. I don't know if she remembered ours. I said, do you remember I gave you... I just said it real gently because I didn't want her to feel condemned if she had chucked the thing. But I said, do you remember I gave you that tract? And she said, yes, it goes with me in my bag everywhere I go. I don't know where she was with the Lord before. Maybe she already knew him and she just needed a clear teaching on who she is in Christ. I don't know, but she's got it. I'll give you another example. We got to lead someone to the Lord a month or so ago, and after we led this person to the Lord, you know your heart sometimes is just like, oh, I just want to give them more, but their cup's already overflowed, and they got to go, and I might never get to see them again. In comes superhuman track. No, but what do you need then? You want a concise sort of thing that you can give to them, because you know how the enemy is. He'll want to come and steal that stuff as much as, as clear as I was with my words or as good as my teaching was, or you know what I mean? They're saved as saved can be, but they can get confused as confused can be if they don't have any good resources to see. And so they need a tract. So after you lead someone to the Lord, being able to give them a tract. So, and here's what I told this person. I said, I want you to read that every day for 21 days. And Meg had texted this person a week or two later, and she said she had been reading it every day. Man, that's going to get that salvation settled in her heart, reading that track every day. It takes 5 minutes. That's it. 5 minutes every day, you'll get it settled in her heart. There's nothing more fun than getting to lead someone to the Lord. And a tract is a powerful tool to get to do that. Just like I said, either in a situation where you don't have a lot of time or a situation where you have plenty of time, but you want to give a follow-up resource. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. Now, here's the neat thing. Now that the tract has been revised 20 times, it has the design set, it's ready for mass production. Up until this point, Brad's been printing these on his color printer at home for our evangelism classes, and he goes and takes an X-Acto knife and cuts them very carefully, and then we all fold them just perfect. It's a lot of work. But there's a better way. But we didn't want to do this until we knew we had it right, and it's right now. So here's the deal. There's a company called U-Printing. I really like them. I got samples of their paper. Brad and I have gone through the paper. We're going to get 100-pound paper with a matte finish. It's real tactile and nice, not sticky and fakey feeling. Feels real nice. And we're going to print this thing on that paper. And basically, as you can probably guess if you've done any printing before, quantity causes the price per unit to go down. So what... me and three others have already committed $50 each to it, so we've got $200 pulled together to buy tracks. As it currently stands, with $200, these prices include shipping, by the way. I called for shipping estimates because I knew that would adjust things. But right now, just the four of us are going to, the four families are going to each, we could buy 2,000 tracks between the four families right now. So, We don't need anybody in here to buy tracks. We'll each have 500 tracks, which is a lot. You know, that's going to be like a big old stack of these things. But
those are ours. We're not giving you.
But we're not giving them to you. All right. So here's the deal. This is the opportunity. And you'll want to jump on this opportunity today, not sometime later, because, again, you got to buy them in bulk. And so we've got 200 raised. If you guys want to raise another $370, for instance, you see that $570 up there? If everybody here altogether puts in 370 more, you'll notice that the price per track goes from 10 cents down to 5.7 cents, which means then Brad and I and some others are going to get closer to 1,000 tracks for $50. We need you. No, I'm just kidding. But you can get a number of tracks. So go ahead and go to the next slide. You got four different opportunities here. There's only four different amounts of money that we'll accept today. You don't have to pay us today, but you're just going to pledge your money. Raise your hand, Brian. Brian's going to have a clipboard after service. You can just tell him how much you want to put towards tracks. All right? So you'll notice at the top, I don't want to be confusing here, the number of tracks you'll get for $10, $25, $50, or $100. So you can give one of those four amounts if you'd like to get some tracks. The number you'll get depends on how much money together we all raise, right? Because remember, the price per changes. You guys good with that?
Yeah.
Is this too confusing?
No.
Okay, here's what's going to happen. So if you give just $10, you're going to get at least 119 tracks. And by the way, these have the shipping that I put into these prices, it's an estimate. It could be off by 10 tracks or something like that. So have a little grace for us, but I got it as exact as I could. All right, so if you give $10, you're going to end up with over 100 tracks. But if lots of people give $10 or more, you might end up with close to 200 tracks, 175. So it just depends. For me, I'm going to get at least 596 tracks, but I could end up with over 800. Okay? Here's what I'd recommend. If you are not used to living a tract-filled life, you need to learn to be more tractful. No, I didn't. That was the Spirit of the Lord. For those listening online, I was accused of having planned that pun. I'm just kidding. Oh, the accuser of the brethren's alive and well. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm going to stop. All right, here's the deal. If you're not used to having tracks, you want to have a bunch of them in your car. You want to have them at your front door. I had a door-to-door salesman come by. I actually liked his product, but I also led him to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? He just didn't know. He just didn't know. Didn't know. Glad I had a track there, or else I would have sent him away empty-handed. He went, and he told me he's going home to share it with his fiance. So I'm thinking, We might have got 2-for-1 on that deal. Now, any of you looking for 2-for-1, it's just the price is the price. Okay, so anyway, who are you going to see after service? Brian, this is your day. I don't want to delay this any longer. I think that there's, what's that?
I do.
Okay. I don't know.
No, there, you're still on.
Hello.
A couple things I also want to add to about having these tracks. The first time I printed 1,000 of them, and I had handed those out in short order. What's really nice about it is if you don't even feel like you know exactly how to share the gospel, you now know how just by having a track. You can give it to someone that's powerful. The second thing that track will do for you, you read it over and over and over and try and use it to teach you how to share the gospel. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's right there. Learn how to just read it enough times and then put it down and see if you can say the whole thing. And if you get stuck, pick it back up. Use it to teach yourself how to share the gospel. So it becomes a teaching tool for you. And then also, remember, this tract not only explains the whole gospel to them in about 3 minutes, but then on the back it has scriptures, powerful scriptures to support everything they just read. The first three basically confirm the sin issue, and that the rejection of Christ will cause them to be lost for eternity. Then the next three scriptures talk about, but the love of God is there for you to embrace you if you accept him into your life. Then right below that, on the back of the track, can you put the back of the track up there again, where it has the front and the back? Notice about halfway down, and I don't know if you can read it, it says, a helpful prayer. And it literally walks them right through how to pray. Because a lot of people are like, I don't even know what to say to God. And I've read it, I understand. In case they still don't know exactly what to say, it just walks them right through a nice prayer of how to accept Christ into their life. So this becomes a teaching tool for you, and it becomes an opportunity for you to hand to other people. Just the other day, I was in a restaurant, talked to this waitress a little bit, and I had my Bible open, and I'm just sitting there reading the Bible. And then I asked her, you know, if she was, I don't remember how I introduced it, but I just said something to her about, you know, have you been raised in a Christian home? Or were you raised in any particular faith? And she said she was raised Catholic. And so I said, I was too, you know, and I just kind of celebrated that common ground we had there. And then I said, hey, there's something I want to give you. I didn't say it the first time. I was just talking to her. She went away. And I went out to my car and then came back. And I said, I went out to my car to get something for you. And she goes, you did? And I said, yeah. There's another truth that I never learned through Catholicism that just made all the difference for my life. And I want you to have that truth. It's incredible what it'll do for your life. And I have it for you. She goes, wow. And I said, but I want you to promise me something. She said, what? I want you to promise you'll read this if I'm going to give this to you. That's something I say to every single person I hand it to. Because then they make a commitment. Even if it's not so much to you, but in their own heart, she's like, all right. So she took it, you know. And it's just a simple tool to be able to give to people real easily. So once you get in the habit of this, you'll find you're handing them out all the time. You're going to be glad you have at least 100. It'll go very quickly if you get into a habit of doing it. So, anyhow, that's it.
Uh-huh, that's good. That's beautiful. So you're going to see Brian afterwards. $10, $25, $50, or $100 are the options. You might be thinking to yourself, some of you, this is the craziest start to a sermon I've ever heard. It's not. Yep, grab the mic while I finish this comment. Yeah, on the mic.
Okay, it's real short. I tried to stay in my seat, but there's at least two people in here.
the gospel happens, that's all I need to tell you. When the gospel is preached or spoken, you're out of it. Really, you're just a deliverer. And then the gospel does the work.
You know, one time we were at the Outer Banks, met this lady, started talking with her. It's sunset, you know, everyone's leaving the beach. Started talking with this lady at the steps leading up over the dunes. And just like Brenda said, as you speak the words of the gospel out of your mouth, you see this thing start to happen with them. It looks half like joy. In this case, it looked half like joy, half like, oh my God, I've never heard this. Like, just total stunned. You could see, like, it was, I don't mean to, maybe this will come off as graphic, it's not, but her throat, like, started quivering. It's the weirdest thing. It's not how it always happens, but you just see it come on people. Like Brenda said, it's like, it's out of body almost for you. You just start speaking, and somehow this thing that you're speaking is so alive that it just gets in them and starts working and thing. It's pushing buttons and it's cutting things off and it's living and active and it's just do. And they're like, for those listening online, stunned face. Okay. See Brian after service if you want in. If some of your friends aren't here today, you might want to pay some money for them, because I'm sure with that sort of a sales pitch, they wanted some too. Okay. Yeah, exactly. If you're just visiting today, especially since it seems like family's visiting, just order if you want to, and then exactly, we can get them to you. Okay. Last week, with 9 minutes left, I'm just kidding. Last week, I spoke about waking up. Who is here? Okay. I spoke about waking up. I said what you believe, so just by way of review very quickly, what you believe changes everything. Another thing I said is that if you don't see it, speaking of kingdom fruit in your life, if you don't see it, it's because you don't believe it. There's only one problem going on with me or with you as it relates to kingdom fruit. It's that we don't believe for it, and that's why we don't see it. The best litmus test you can see, best litmus test you have for what you believe is what you see happening in your life. Some things might be waiting to come to pass, so don't take it too literally. Here's the deal, though. We can receive, like Aaron said, revelation from behind the veil. God can put new things in our heart to bring out new things in our life. But here's the deal. You are responsible for what you've seen. Philippians 3:16 says, let us attain to what we've already, it's not seen. I've got myself messed up on the verb now. Philippians 3:16. They'll have it up in just a second. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And you can switch to NKJV for me. That's like a prophetic word. I've always used ESV, but I have made the switch. Lukewarm doesn't work, and the ESV is a good Bible too. Lukewarm doesn't work for the kingdom of God. I just made Brad's day. So here's the deal. We're all responsible for the gospel of grace. If you've received the gospel of grace, you're responsible to it. If you've attained to the gospel of grace, you're responsible to share the gospel of grace. In Luke 8, the apostles saw all these miracles, but only three of them saw Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. But so Jesus didn't make everybody responsible when he sent them out in Luke 9, verse 1. He didn't make them responsible for raising people from the dead yet. He said, heal diseases and cast out demons. That's what they'd all seen. You're responsible for what you've seen in the kingdom. It's time to wake up. So that's last week. Here is my wake-up call. You'll see that the thing about the tracks is perfect. Here is my wake-up call. Last summer, not like 3 months ago, like 15 months ago. Brad was taking me out, and I mentioned this before, but this is, it needs to be the context. It's a need for context here. Brad was taking me out to teach me how to witness to people with tracks and just with our words in malls and other places. Now, it was summer, and I was an assistant principal at the time, and so it's busy school year, and you finally get to the summer, and you kind of, like, work extra hard during the school year because you know you have the summer, and then you get to the summer, and you want to just, like, stop. And instead, Brad's kind of like poking me and nudging me, saying, hey, let's go out witnessing. I really want you to make this priority. Twice a week, we'll go witnessing. And we went during the boys' nap time, which is great. But if you have young kids, you know what the nap time's like. It's like your sacrosanct time of like that's not late at night or early in the morning that you can have a little bit of space in your schedule. So 2 days a week, my weeks are punctuated by this thing that has me quaking in my shoes a little bit. First time I went to the mall, Brad said, let's walk around for a second so you can calm down. And so we, you know, if any of you have some trouble with the fear of man, just go start witnessing. It'll just drive it right on out of you. Fire's not bad. Okay, so I'm having my witnessing boot camp with Brad over the course of July that year, of, you know, maybe 6 weeks total, going a couple times a week. And this one time, maybe the third or fourth time going, I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable, but I'm getting ready. I'm taking a shower, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I need a break. I wasn't even complaining. You know, you can complain in your heart sometimes, but I wasn't even complaining. It's just like, man, I'm so aware. I need a break. I'm tired still from the school year. This is my 1 month that I have off. I need a break, and this is kind of hard to go on these afternoons, you know, and I'm kind of nervous about them just because of where I'm at with the thing, and so it makes it harder. I just like, man, I need a break. And because I knew I needed a break, I had this thought, and it was sort of like, I don't really want to go witnessing. Now, luckily, I had my pastor, who had me going. Okay, you know, sometimes you need your leader to tell you something that you don't want to hear. They wouldn't be much of a leader if they sometimes don't tell you things that you don't want to hear. There's a verse, we mentioned this in prayer this morning, there's a verse that says, humility comes before honor. I've always read it one way. My humility will eventually cause there to be honor for me. It's true in long range. In shorter range, this is what's also true. Humility, as in knowing that you have need, is what will cause you to honor someone else, including the Lord. Your ability to honor is predicated by your humility. Did you catch it? And honor, Matthew 10, right at the end of Matthew 10, it's around verse 40. Honor a prophet because he is a prophet. Receive a prophet's. If you want rewarded in life, honor is your vehicle. Right? The Lord opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble releases your ability to honor, which allows you to access grace. It gives you a reward. So you need leaders in your life like Brad to poke and prod you sometimes. To say, come on, time to get her done. But I'm standing in the shower thinking, I don't want to go. But my mind caught something right there. I thought to myself, I don't want to go witnessing because I need a break. And I, you know, probably said, yeah, you should have a break. You know, I didn't do that. But here's what my mind caught. Wait a second. This does not sound like a scripture that I know. Do you guys do that in your lives? If your thoughts contrast or conflict with the Word of God, it's a good time to pump the brakes. Now, here's the deal. Sometimes we want to treat the Holy Spirit a little bit like he's the guy driving the car when you're learning to drive. You ever see those cars that have brakes on both sides of the car? Passenger side's got a brake too. We think the Holy Spirit operates like that with us. On some level, sometimes maybe he'll do that for us because we're just so up a crick and he wants to save us. But here's the deal. We got a free will. We need to be the person that pumps the brakes when our thoughts don't line up with the Word of God. And so here's what I did right there in that moment. I thought to myself, wow, that doesn't seem, I didn't feel condemned, I just was noticing. I'm noticing right now that my thoughts don't line up with a very particular, very important scripture. Matthew 6, 33. wanted to let you read it so you could catch it. Going out witnessing would probably be categorized as what? Seeking the kingdom of God, correct? What is the kingdom of God? Anywhere his rule is. Right? What's the kingdom of a king? Anywhere where the king is king. Where his rule is. So the kingdom of God is anywhere where his rule is. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The kingdom of God is where his will is being done. Do you think that going out to share the gospel with people, and when Brad and I would go, we'd lead people to the Lord? Sometimes a couple people at once. A beautiful young couple, they're probably 16 or 17, it was the girl's birthday, and they both got born again that day. They'd gone to church their whole lives, they had never heard this message. There was another two really kind of like, I don't know, very charismatic young girls, like 18 or 20, something like that. I can remember them, so energetic, and they had just been thinking to themselves, they had been asking themselves questions about God, and Brad had picked them out of the crowd, so let's go talk to them. And so he strikes up a conversation with them, and they say, this is so crazy. We were just talking about, like, how do you have a relationship with God? You know, we do pray before we go witnessing. We send forth ministering spirits to prepare the way. I think they were well prepared. They both received the Lord. Isn't that awesome? Anyway, I thought to myself as I stood in the shower that day, oh, me not wanting to go witnessing and instead wanting to have a rest is kind of like opposite of Matthew 6:33. Because it says seek first his kingdom. First means with priority. First means not second. First means now, not later. Seek first. And this is the God that's asking us to do this. Just remember this. He loved you first. We love because he first loved us, correct? The God that's asking you to do this is the one that chose you first. He chose you before you were cleaned up. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The God that's asking us to seek him first has modeled this to perfection with us. And so I'm standing there thinking, this doesn't quite line up. It says seek first the kingdom. First, not second. Not later, not as an after effect, not as an aftershock. First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. Now, if you look at all the verses preceding, it's talking about all the things that the Gentiles were going after. Clothes, food, all the things. We need things. God loves for us to own nice things. He just doesn't want nice things to own us. And so what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 6 is he's just laying out that, hey, look, I know you need things, but I'm going to tell you a different way. Remember, repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. It means change your mind. Kingdom of God's at hand. You got to think a little bit different in this season. And we're still in that season of grace. Repent, for the kingdom of God's at hand. Change your mind. He says, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So this is a cosmic switch from the way nearly everybody does it. I'll say it that way. The way I've always done it is seek everything that you need and then give some time to God. Oh, no, not me. I mean, my quiet time's in the morning, not in the evening. Don't think that's quite the issue. It's a heart stance. God's saying, Jesus is saying in this passage, if you tend to my business, I think Brad said this before, I'll tend to your business. That's a whole different mindset. It's a total turnaround. Now, the only way you can ever turn around something like that is you have to stop doing something. right? A lot of times it's like the gerbil that's on the wheel. I can't get off it. I can't get off it. It just keeps going. That's why it's called a rat race. It just keeps going. The only way you stop that cycle is to stop. You have to stop something. You have to get off. If you look at Gideon, he was in the wine press hiding from the Midianites, and God came to him, said, "Mighty man of valor." What did Gideon need to do to break the cycle of the Midianites stealing from them? He needed to get out the wine press. Sometimes you got to stop something. So in the shower there, as I had that thought, wait a second, my thinking doesn't line up with the word. That's that's the point that'll change your life. Not just about this. That is the point that'll change your life. Great having you guys in, by the way. That's the point that will change your life about anything in the Word of God. If you submit to it. That's the difference. When you notice that it's like, you know, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Look, if God starts sharpening me, I just want to like be molded to whatever he wants. Take that burr off me, do whatever you need to do so that I'm a tool fit for good service. And so what I did in that moment, this whole exchange took probably 3/4 of a second. You know how quick your mind just gets things sometimes? It was like, do. And here's what my mind did, and here's what I spoke out of my mouth. I cried out loud, "God, I'm going to seek first your kingdom, and I'm going to trust you to take care of adding all those things to me, including my rest." It was a decision. Something just got birthed in my heart when that happened. Something got birthed in my heart so significant that over the next 2 weeks, I couldn't stop thinking about it. It started welling up on the inside of me. We're supposed to have rivers of living water pouring out of the inside of us. And this thing was just welling up and welling up and welling up and welling up. And here's what happened. Here's what happened. 2 weeks later, I called Brad and said, "Hey, this thing's been on my heart." And sometimes I just love to do this. It's the same as like submitting yourself to the Word of God, submitting yourself to leaders in your life. I just started sharing everything I was thinking about it, figuring if it's off base when I'm done sharing, he'll tell me, "Hey, all really good except for this part. That part's not going to help you long term because of this truth in the Bible. You want to think of it this way." "Oh, okay, good." So I shared it, and at the end of it, he said, "Well, Peter," and I'm like, you know, I purposely shared it like kind of raw, you know what I mean? Like not trying to make it sound real right, just this exactly how I'm thinking about it. I'm going to get his response. He said, "I can tell you if you grab onto that verse like a bulldog and don't let go of it, you're going to walk on water." And I thought, that's good confirmation. I'm on the right track. And he gave me then a teaching about it that was just, oh, it was awesome. I got off the phone with Brad so fired up about this thing, emboldened that, yeah, you really should take God at his word for Matthew 6:33. And I screamed in the car, "God, show me how!" And that released a series of events over this last year that has changed my life. It's a decision. It's 100% a decision. Matthew 6:33, it's a decision. I'll just give you a short teaching so you can get that a little bit more, that it's a decision. It's Ephesians 5, I believe, that says, husbands, love your wives, right? Do you know what it says, husbands, love your wives, after? It says that after, it says, wives, submit to your husbands. A decision for submission always comes before the provision of submission. A deciding for submission always comes before the provision of submission. If, as a wife, you're waiting to submit to your husband until he loves you perfectly, you'll never submit to him. You have to decide. Otherwise, you'll only ever be able to be reactive. Oh, he loved me today, I'm going to submit to him. You'll only ever be able to be reactive, responding to external stimulus instead of making a quality internal decision and living from the inside out. You have to make a decision. A decision. That's why Paul put it in that order. Wives, submit to your husbands. And he only gave them like two verses, and then it's like husbands get like 10 verses to tend to. There's a lot of instructions given to husbands, starting with husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Right? Now here's the thing. I believe that Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, is waiting to find out if his church will choose to submit to him. Bride, wives, that's all of us now. Submit your husband. He said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. I'll take care of you. That's you take care of my stuff, I'll take care of yours. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. I'll take care of you. All these other things, I'll add them to you. What's that? Keep going. Okay, I'm just going to give you a few specific things here. You have to I truthfully haven't got to the most helpful part of the message. Okay. That's what I'm actually thinking of going next week. Okay. I'll give the preface, I'll give you the three things, and then maybe I'll talk with you more next week. Okay, here's the deal. I think Dave Ramsey is one of the, he's got a wonderful ministry. How many of you know Dave Ramsey? He's got a ministry about money. And here's basically his ministry. You ready? He got really rich, then he got really poor, he went bankrupt, and now he's really rich again, but he teaches people how not to be poor. Because he's kind of been both. He's got a scripture. His whole ministry, in my opinion, is based off of, not that he doesn't have a lot of revelation about a lot of things, but here's, borrower is slave to the lender. That's it. So if you want to be a slave, borrow money. That's how it works. You're a slave. So here's what his ministry does. He teaches people how to get out of debt, because he's like, until you get out of debt, you can't build wealth. You might think that you got wealth because you got a bunch in your bank account, but the fact that you owe 10 times more than what you got in the bank account, you don't have any wealth. And so what he's saying, it's beautiful ministry, is get out of debt. And he's got, I think, tremendous practical revelation of how to go about getting out of debt. Here's what he says. You got to stop spending some of the money you're spending in order to pay off some of the money that you owe. Dang, it's so profound. But when you're in that mindset, that he's speaking to, it is profound. And it's profoundly difficult because it's a change in mindset. But basically, he tells people, look, yeah, I know you think you don't have any money. Stop enough of something that you just free up even $30 a month so you can start paying down your smallest bill that you have until it's nothing. And now you've got $45 a month freed up. And then you start paying down the other thing. Now you got $100 a month freed up. And now you start paying down that. Pretty soon, you're paying down your mortgage. And so what's his whole, like, what's the whole thing that you have to do if you want to turn the ship in the water? You got to stop something. You have to stop something. And I believe that if you do not create space in your budget, in that case, you can't turn your financial ship. You have to stop something in order to start something. Watch this. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. It's about Jesus. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Verse 17, then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Verse 18, here's my point. They immediately left their nets and followed him. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he, meaning Matthew, arose and followed him. Cycles are broken by stopping. You have to stop something in order to start something. Very few of us actually have enough space in order to start something new. Usually we kind of fill things to the max, so you actually usually have to cut something away in order to have space for something new. Okay, there's a few things I believe. Here's what I've done. I believe I've experienced a tremendous transformation as it relates to seeking first the kingdom of God. I've got tons to learn, right? Humility will allow you to honor, which will allow you to receive. I've got tons to learn, humble. Here's the thing. I believe that there's certain pieces that God has chunked away, cut away from my heart, from my thinking, that have made all the difference for me. I would call them barriers to being able to seek first the kingdom. So I'm going to list three of them, and then I believe next week I'll teach on them specifically. First one, worldly thinking. Worldly thinking. Sometimes Christians call it stinking thinking. Same thing. Non-transformed thinking. Non-renewed mind thinking, Romans 12:2. Worldly thinking. I think whatever the world tells me to think. That sort of thinking. I don't think everything the world tells me to think. You probably think a lot of the things they tell you to think. Hopefully not in here, but you know how it is. He's changed my mind on a lot of things, just like when I stood in the shower. No, you ought to take a break. You got to have a break from school. You got to have a break from school. Well, yeah, don't do too much. Don't go witnessing. Worldly thinking. No. I'm going to do what he says, and I'll trust he'll do what he says. Okay. Second one, fear of man. This is my list of scriptures as it relates to the fear of man, all from Jesus, one's from 2 Timothy, but how we think about man's response to us is not what Jesus preached to us. I can almost guarantee that both you and me think wrong about this. Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So if you were thinking that verse in the shower, were you before you thought that verse thinking, man, I hope someone just slanders me today as I pursue the gospel and righteousness? You probably weren't. But it says, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Don't take that to stupid land. You're not trying to get slandered. It's just saying that that's how God thinks about this. This is how Jesus thinks about this. He's saying, blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We just don't think like that. But that's how he said to think. He didn't tell us the Beatitudes so that we could keep thinking how we were thinking. He told us the Beatitudes so we could change how we were thinking. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So not only do I believe that we've got worldly thinking, worldly mindsets, worldly constructs that actually hinder our ability to step in to seeking first the kingdom, but I also believe that we've got fear of man, tremendous fear of man. 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Okay. Here's the last one. Busyness. This is huge. By the way, you might think, well, this sounds like a list of three of like 30 good things that he could have said right there. I did not just pick three concepts out of the sky to make this list of what hinders the kingdom of God. I literally thought back through the last 5 or 6 years of my life and what were the major seminal points that the Lord spoke to me, and they were the sort of words that he spoke to me that then he worked in me and worked in me and worked in me and worked in me until there was a change in me, until there was a change you could see. What were those things? And that's what these are. I'm not saying it's the whole package. Maybe it's not. And I know I've still got lots to learn on top of this. I'm just saying I know these three things will change your life as it relates to being able to seek first the kingdom. And so this is a question. just the other week even, I was about to go to an event. I didn't have rest in my heart about going to the event. And I sought the Lord about it. I literally got down on my face. I'm like, why am I so messed up about this? But instead of feeling condemned about it, I just got down on my face and prayed, and I heard the Lord say, will you leave time in your schedule for me? So we might have a problem with busyness. So we need to change our mind about a few things. I can talk more, it sounds like I'm going to plan to talk more on those three things next week. Specifics, give you verses for those things so that you can start to wrap your mind around. There's going to need to be some changes in thinking that happen inside your head and in your heart so that you can seek first the kingdom. Okay. All right. Aaron's going to come up. Some of you are going to see Brian afterwards. He'll hang out probably back there by the sound booth or something, or on the back wall, so you can find him to place an order for tracts. I don't want to miss this opportunity, though. Brian will stay there long enough that if you need prayer, come on up for prayer. We're going to have a prayer team. Kenton and Megan, if you can come up here. I know Megan's available. We're going to have a prayer team. Don and Sherry, if you guys would come up. Brenda, are you and Olin available today? That would be great if you guys could come up. So we have people up here that want to pray for you. If you have a physical need, let's get you healed. Jesus already paid for it. We're getting him what he deserves when we see it manifest here. Okay? If you have an emotional need, if something's been bugging you, if something's heavy on your heart, come on up. If you don't know the Lord yet, we talked a lot about the gospel tracts, etc. If you don't know what Jesus did on the cross for you, come on up and we'll lead you to the Lord. Any other needs that I haven't mentioned, of course, please do come up to one of our prayer ministers. Bless you guys. Father, I pray a sealing over this word. Hey, here's the vision I had in prayer this morning. Gas range. Last week's message was like when you go to the point on the knob, turning the knob on a gas range where it goes click, 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 and it lights. This week, I'm turning up the flame. So I believe the Lord is wanting to turn up the flame underneath us. He's going to heat some things up, and I think it'll continue next week, that there's going to start to be momentum that builds in your life. There's one key, though. You can stop it, guaranteed. And the way that you'll stop it, if you want to stop it, is to not have the same response that I had in the shower, which is, wait a second, this doesn't line up. And so when it doesn't line up, when something's stirring in your heart in these weeks where the Lord's making some changes in our hearts, if something's stirring in your heart, don't neglect it. Take it to the Lord. Let him do the work in your heart. Let him change your mind. You stay humble before him. You got to just stay low. You stay low before the Lord. Just let him work those things in you. So Father, I pray a covering over these words that you'd just be working far more than I spoke. You'd be working in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. All right, come on up for ministry. Last week, many, many people came up, so I'm expecting that people would come up. Come on up for ministry. God bless you all. See Brian if you'd like to order tracts.